Yeah, so I want to go back to that point about discussing the process and also support Frank in terms of what his point of view being called disingenuous because of his process. Because if he doesn't understand it by a certain point, then that means it's disingenuous. That's a judgment, and no one can know what's in someone else's head and what their true intentions are. That's none of us know that, and I understand. I respect that Frank is being genuine, and even if it is disapproved of and people don't have patience with it and people are irritated by it and it's not convenient, I understand all of that. That does not make it disingenuous. And so I would like to second what Frank said in terms of discussing it today. I think that's fair and valid. Everyone agrees with that point. We could go on what we all agree with. Let's all discuss it today. It's the vote. Not vote on it today, but vote on it before the end of September. But let's all have a discussion today. And everyone does not agree that about the timeline. Everyone does not agree about that. So what we're talking about is what we agree with. Everyone agrees it should be discussed today. People don't agree with the timeline. Some people feel like it was not sent out in enough time. I agree with that. So the main point is we all agree it should be discussed today. And if we all can agree on that, then it's more about the vote. And that we should vote before the end of September so we can get it approved by deadline. I think that's fair.
Thank you. Sharon is next.
Okay, thanks. I want to say what I wrote in the chat, which is that at the last LSB meeting, it was stated quite clearly the budget timeline, and that the timeline was to vote on a budget for today. That's why we sent out the doodle poll to find a time for people to come to the budget workshop. Very few people bothered to attend. After the budget workshop, people did not ask Maria for questions about the budget. No, she hasn't gotten any information. And even more to the point, there's really not that many changes in the budget from last year. So you could look at the budget from last year, make some suggestions or comments. I hear all this stuff about process, but there's nothing actually about the budget that seems to, be coming up. And it's not the right time for that. I'm just saying that could have happened on our email list, questions to Maria. None of that happened. It's just a delay to prevent us from voting on the budget. And probably if we didn't get to vote on it today, then the next thing we'd be hearing a bunch of emails about how KPFA did not vote on the budget in a timely manner. And I just want to point out that at the national level, the Pacifica National Board has a duty to pass a budget for all of Pacifica and has not done that for 4 years. These are the same people that are now complaining about the process where we are actually trying to pass a budget. And not only that, the last point I want to make is that KPFA is, again, the only finance station, the only station within Pacifica that is running in the black. We are the only station that has positive cash flow in this current fiscal year. All the other stations are running a deficit. Where is the harassment of those stations and those stations' budgets? Our budget is on time and it is within our means. Okay, that's my time.
Thank you. Carol Wolfley.
Thanks. The LSB can pass this budget regardless of whether or not the words are in this amendment. I want to take a moment to thank Maria and to thank Quincy, who have been waiting on this call for over an hour and 10 minutes to present this. I want to thank Maria for staying up late into the night last night and amidst challenges with computers and equipment. And if any of you have never experienced challenges with computer equipment, I wish you well, and that's wonderful. But I think we all know that there can be problems with getting material out. And I want to say that Maria spent a lot of time going over things with us. She's answered questions that people have sent to her. And if you have proposals for the budget, you could have made them. I think part of the issue for me in respect is not just respect for us as individuals, but respect for us collectively in the use of our time. And we are now into 1210 and have not gotten to anything, and maybe that's fine.
Thank you. Seeing nobody else on this deck right now, I'm going to go ahead and we'll call a vote. So the vote is on James' motion, his amendment on the agenda. So Carol, do you want to do roll call?
Can the motion be read, please?
This will be
the... you want to read it from the chat?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was wrong.
Oh, let's see. I'm looking through the chat. Christina, will you read it?
Let me see if I can find it. You know what? I can't find it on my...
Wait, I can go to my... I can go to my... Oh, God.
Item 4, and it says, and possible improvement. So those... approval. So those three words, and possible approval, are what James wants to strike. That's it.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So we're voting on that.
Okay. Sharon Adams.
I'm sorry. I missed what the vote was. I'm sorry.
The vote is to approve James's amendment to the agenda.
No. Okay. My vote is no.
Sharon Adams, no. Marilyn Langlois?
Yes.
Marilyn, yes. Daniel Borgstrom?
Yes.
Daniel Borgstrom, yes. Christine Pepin?
Yes.
Christine Pepin, yes. Chris Corey?
No.
Chris Corey, yes.
No.
He said no.
Chris Corey, no.
Yes, that's correct. He said no.
Chris Corey, no. Shira Dedman.
Shira?
Shira, jump in when you're able to. Don Goldmacher?
No.
Don, no. Christina Huggins?
No.
Christina, no. Lily Kimura?
No.
Lily Kimura, no. James McFadden?
Yes.
James McFadden, yes. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Aki Tanaka, no. Andrea Turner?
Andrea, we can't hear you.
No.
Thank you.
Andrea, no. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Tom Voorhees, yes. Carol Wolfley, no. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Sabrina Jacobs, no. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene Pagano, yes. Tim Lynch?
No.
Tim Lynch, no. Frank Sterling?
Yes.
Frank Sterling, yes. Janine Etter?
Yes.
Philip Muldari?
I'm no. Sorry, can you repeat back my... I didn't hear you repeat it back.
Oh, Janine Etter, yes.
Okay.
Philip Muldari?
No.
Philip Muldari, no. Okay, let's see. Did...
I meant to vote no.
Shara?
This is Sharon. I meant to vote no.
Oh, Sharon, yes.
Yeah, sorry about that. Are you saying Shira or Sharon?
Shira.
Okay, Shira.
Yeah. Is this about the budget? We can keep going with the budget.
No, this is to take out the words and possible passing of the budget. So this would make it impossible for us to, it might discourage the possibility of passing the budget.
Okay, then no, I don't want that.
Okay.
Sharon, no. All right. Sharon, did you tally that?
No, I didn't tally it.
Okay.
Did you get Pagano?
Pagano, yes.
I've got 8 yes. Yeses.
8 yes and 12 no.
12 no's.
Mm-hmm. 8 yes.
12 no, the amendment fails. So at this point, maybe we can like get to the agenda. So can we, we've approved, this is on a motion to, we had a motion to approve the agenda before the friendly of the amendments came up. So this is a motion to approve the agenda. And I will do roll call since it seems to be the way we're doing things on the Zoom call. Is that fine with everybody?
Yep.
Can we try a unanimous approval since we've gotten through the amendments? Just ask for objections. I'd like to get to something substantive.
I'd like to discuss the budget. Shucks.
Yes, let's vote on the agenda, okay? Then we can get to the budget.
Are there any, do you want to ask if there is any opposition?
Is there any opposition to approving the agenda? That would be, you could raise your hand if there's an opposition to approving the agenda.
Jim, you're getting feedback.
So please raise your hand. And the way you do that, if you want to oppose the approval of the agenda, you can raise your hand on the participants part on the right-hand side of your screen. Just press raise hand if you want to vote against approval of the agenda.
Or just say opposed.
I'm
hearing
opposed.
None.
The hands are raised on the participant screen. You can see there's yes. Something going up, and just vocally I'm opposed if we're not going to.
You're on there, call. Frank. Let's your hand is up on call. There.
Let's just vote. Let's just do the roll call. It's the only
okay,
way.
Do the roll call. Go ahead.
Oh, also just a note. I see Mantra has joined the meeting. Her hand is up and her name is visible.
Okay, approve agenda. Here we go. Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Marilyn?
No.
No. Daniel Bortzman? Come back to Daniel. Christine Pepin?
No.
Chris Coy?
Yes.
Shira Dedman? Shira?
Yes. Yes.
Shira, yes. Don Goldmacher?
Yes.
Tom, yes. Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christina, yes. Lily Kimura?
Yes.
Lily, yes. James McFadden?
I'll just abstain. This is meaningless at this point. You heard the thing, Jeff.
Thank you.
Aki Tanaka, James abstained. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
You're muted, Andrea, I think.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tom Borges?
No.
No. Carol Wolfley, yes. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Tim Lynch?
Yes.
Frank Sterling?
I'll just abstain as well.
Janine Utter?
Abstain.
Janine abstained. Frank abstained. Philip Muldari?
Yes.
Philip? Yes. And Mantra Planzi?
No.
Okay, Jose, do you have a tally?
Yes, I do. I have 13 yeses, 4 noes, 3 abstains.
So,
thank you.
The agenda is passed. Hallelujah.
All right. Almost as good as it can be. Sorry, I lost my connection there for a second. Okay. Okay, so the agenda is approved. Now we can get to the introduction. We have an introductory statement by Quincy.
And Quincy, would you go ahead and give your introduction, and then we will go to the review of the draft KPFA budget.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. This is going to be very short. I just wanted to give an update on the radio station before you move into the discussion about the budget. Here we go. All successful radio is local. I've heard that mantra for 30 years. It was true then as it is today. What it means is radio continues to connect people to their communities, perhaps now more than any other medium. Radio remains unique as a local communication service, one that is the lifeblood of local information in all our communities and in our culture. With daily climate emergencies and cultural eruptions, it's our duty to provide listeners with local pertinent information and resources. In the last few months, KPFA has used our frequency as a lifeline to reach thousands of people in church groups, Black and Brown community action groups, schools, hospitals, and prisons, and provided resources and critical COVID-19 information, information that they could share within their distinct communities. That's radio playing a vital role. Nonprofits out there are struggling. KQED laid off 20% of their workforce just a few weeks ago. Why? Well, the corporate sponsorship and underwriting money has dried up. We fortunately don't take corporate funding, and it doesn't affect our budget line. Our mission is our life raft. KPFA is adapting to the new normal of remote broadcasting and fundraising with heroic energy and speed. Are we worried about the future? We don't have time to worry. We're prevailing, doing what we always do best, continuing to live our mission, lead with our hearts and values, and serve our communities well. Yet we must continue to create inventive ways to transform our programming and fundraising events on and off air to remain financially sound. And we're proud that our donor community has responded in kind to our energy and creativity. The programming department has put together a brand new KPFA Bay Area Voting Guide and Resource Hub, which you can find on the front page of kpfa.org. It covers everything you need to know about voting in person, by mail, where to drop off your ballot, and your rights, covering all the counties in the KPFA signal area. It includes voting rights for incarcerated people, disabled people, Latinx resources. The local news outlet Berkeley site called us this week to ask us if they could share it on their website. The fall fund drive is Tuesday, September 22nd through Friday, October 9th. For this drive, we've put together a new digital collection of audio from KPFA speaker events, writers, thinkers, historians, and activists that speak powerfully to this tumultuous time. Everyone who pledges at any amount will receive the Don't Believe the Hype collection of political history, a digital gift that's delivered automatically in a confirmation email. On the website, we've got a newsflash page and on-air promos reminding listeners that no matter which way this election goes, KPFA won't give up the fight. The news department provided comprehensive coverage about the science and politics of the coronavirus pandemic. Early on, news reporting focused on the warnings that prisoners in the state's overcrowded prisons were at high risk of contracting COVID-19, a prediction that sadly came to pass. We featured coverage of the battle to provide safe housing for homeless people from streets to shelters. Upfront has a regular Monday 7:30 a.m. interview, a call-in segment with epidemiologist Dr. John Schwartzberg that has provided an important service in explaining the latest developments on issues such as vaccinations and transmissions and answering basic questions about the virus. Later in the spring and summer, the news department covered the protest over the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Tony McDade, and the attempts at the state and local level to defund the police and impose restrictions on the use of deadly force. Starting in mid-August, the news department also turned to extensive coverage of the wildfires raging around the Bay Area and throughout the state in cooperation with KFCF in Fresno. The news department, in cooperation with Upfront, is planning a series of in-depth election reports and debates on state and local ballot issues and measures in candidate races. Mitch Jesuith of Letters and Politics will host election night coverage, along with Mark Miracle and Christina Onnestad. KPFA's locally produced coverage will air from 9 p.m. to midnight and will be preceded by national coverage by either Pacifica or Democracy Now. After months of brainstorming and planning, KPFA is ready to debut our new virtual KPFA events. We will be using the Zoom webinar platform. Our first official event is Wednesday, September 23rd, with guest Obi Kaufman, hosted by Brian Edwards-Tiekert. The event is already sold out, and we're excited to bring this event online. Special thanks to KPFA events team and also operations manager Antonio Ortiz and PD Laura Privis. New in-house instruction. This is a class. It's called a collaborative communication skills building class that focuses on shared responsibility for ensuring an equitable and inclusive workplace culture. This course is geared toward KPFA management in order to give the team new tools that can help build upon the values of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. This class is taught by Nancy Kahn. We are also planning, in the planning stages of conducting more interactive courses for staff members in October, November, and December so that they can acquire the skill set necessary to actualize the values of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. On the engineering front, during COVID-19, we have provided hosts with training and tech they needed to perform broadcasts from home. This included purchasing USB microphones, lending computers, and training on professional remote audio tools. The first stage of decommissioning aging audio equipment has begun in the master control. We have upgraded our automation software and are currently retooling it to work with our new digital equipment. The news department will receive a studio upgrade in October after the fall book. This will be a complete overhaul of the aging studio, providing a modern facility with a network digital air chain. Our on-air and production studios are next for facility upgrades. This equipment upgrades will have a noticeable impact on the quality and sound of our airwaves, bringing a greater dynamic range and acoustic accuracy. The facility upgrades will position KPFA once again as a world-class broadcast facility that attracts talent, innovates new revenue streams such as rentals, and a learning facility for the apprentices and for our interns. And to funding updates, the last thing here, just before we move into Maria with the budget information and conversation that's going to happen. The spring fund drive goal was $500,000. $502,765 was pledged. $445,106 paid so far. We're at 89% fulfillment. KPFA donors had the opportunity to choose from a list of 9 local nonprofits to share 10% of their donation. This was a huge success, raising over $5,500 in donations for local charities, serving our community and building goodwill and exposure to other nonprofits in the area that could be potential partners to us in the future. The summer fund drive goal was $300,000. $355,352 was the amount pledged. $273,456, somewhere around there, is paid so far. We're at 77% fulfillment with 97% direct projected to come in. During this drive, we curated the Abolish Racism audio collection that featured esteemed voices from KPFA's author events, speaking about the history of racial inequality in our society. This collection was free for anyone who donated to KPFA, regardless of the amount they donated. Appeal letters. To help jumpstart all of our drives, we send out appeal letters in conjunction with our on-air promos, e-blasts, and social media campaign. With envelopes and website donations still being returned so far, we've reached over $30,000 in donations and checks and clicks. So basically, that's the station update. Thank you for your indulgence. And so now on to the main topic of the budget.
Thank you, Quincy. And
here's Maria.
Thank you, Quincy. And you're Maria welcome. Now?
Thank you.
Finally, Maria, we're ready for you. Are you ready for us? Oye, Maria, ¿dónde estás?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Listo.
Can I hear? You can hear me? Okay.
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, Quincy just told me something that I didn't realize, or told us something. July, I had, I keep forgetting to do that. I'm not accustomed to doing all of this. was. Hold on. Let's see. I share. Sorry. We did this the other day. Share that.
Trying to do the screen share?
Yeah. Okay. You guys see it now?
Yes. Thank you.
Perfect. And I heard that it was hard to see, so I will, oops, maybe that's too big.
It's definitely too big.
Yeah. So I had, I said this at the workshop. I've said it every year, over and over again. Before I start anything, I have said this, I don't know how many times at every meeting that I'm at, anybody could call me. Unfortunately, we can't meet face to face right now, but there are ways that everybody can meet these days. And I never get a phone call. I never get an email. I never get a request for clarification. I never get anything. So I just wanted to put that out as a point of information. So what I was about to say was Quincy was saying that we were like at $350,000. When I put this number in for the summer drive, we had a goal of 300. We came in at 330 at that point in time, and now we're apparently even more. So our fund drives do exceptionally well. I'm incredibly proud of the people that put these together. It's just amazing. And let's see, I want to share. Oops. So sorry, I'm trying to share another. Share. Okay, I have a new share up. Can you see it? It says open with up at the top.
Yes.
Okay. So I asked our development person to fill in the numbers from previous years. Once again, I want to reiterate that I always budget based on history. I don't make up numbers. I look at previous years. There's absolutely no way to know, you know, how generous people are going to feel, what their financial situation is, especially during this period of time. Philip, can you see that okay? Okay. So I asked for numbers. Our goal in May of 2019 was 550,000. We came at 453. But then in the following year, in May of 2020, we had 500,000 for our goal, and we came in at 508. Our birthday drives always do better than we, you know, than we, our goals are. Here's the July again. I had 329 where apparently we're now at 350. And so I'm going to go back to, can you see where it says 85, or do I need to reshare that? I think I need to.
85, which line?
85.
Okay. Yes.
So my point of going back to the other is that we always, well, I shouldn't say always, we have been recently exceeding our goals. However, I do not budget based on exceeding our goals. I still budget based on 100% because if we received 109% of pledges, I'm not going to budget that because that's still kind of a pie in the sky dream. So I still keep it at 100%. I still keep it at 90% fulfillment throughout the whole year. I just want to stop there and see if everybody understands that. I don't know. You guys could tell me if somebody has a question because I don't know that I could see any of that. But I just want to reiterate that it's not, I don't just shove numbers in. You could see that my numbers are daily numbers, 28,000, 27,000 a day. That's actually falls short of some of the days, but you know, you average it out over the weekends and such. So I hope that makes sense to people. One of the questions that was asked of me when we had the workshop for those who attended was can you see this? This is the actual budget.
Yes.
Yeah, that can be seen. Okay. Where it's the blue and the white stripes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. One of the questions that was asked of me and was considered that I take out any of the major donor money that comes in. And again, there's no way of knowing, who's going to give us a bequest, who's going to give us generously. But I can show that in the past 3 years, we have exceeded our major donor money significantly. And I put it here in blue letters. Let me see if I can make that bigger.
Yes.
So it's in blue. You can see in 2019, I budgeted $384,000. We got $1,375,000. In 2018, we budgeted $232,000. I got $588,000. In 2020, budgeted $600,000. For both major, what I call major and minor donors, and came in at 900 and we'll expect it to come in at 902. So I hope that makes sense to everybody. And if I were to take that out of there, a significant amount of stuff that Quincy was saying about our upgrades of equipment and such might have to go by the wayside. I am right now at $26,805 as the net income that I'm projecting. But if I take out that $600,000, we have to make a significant amount of cuts. I hope that makes sense. Again, we've had the money come in. I cannot predict. You can't hold me to it, but year after year after year, it seems to be a, come through. So I hope that makes sense. If anybody has any questions at this point, I can stop, or do you want me just to move on?
I think Chris had a question.
Chris Corey?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually, I had one that you partially answered, and it was about the major funder donations.
Yes.
And, I generally back that out of the operating budgets to the degree that I don't feel the station can make it. And it seems like you're following that practice. But I did have one question regarding the shift this year from major donor funding. I don't know why I keep messing that up, to donations. What is that category? What is that category?
So there's over 1,000 and under 1,000.
Right. I understand that, but the donations category is like wildly higher this year than it was last year. And I'm just wondering if you have any reason why that is.
I'm sorry. Are you talking about my budget?
No, I'm talking about the appearance on the NEDA reports, if you've read them.
No, I don't get them.
Okay. We'll discuss it as a little bit of a side project then.
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Are you talking about this number here?
Well, no. I mean, you have 901 showing. Part of that is major donor funding, and the other part is some other sort of donations.
I call them major and minor. Under 1,000, over 1,000.
Okay. Yeah. The under 1,000, I think, just generally goes in as listener contributions, but I guess
you're no, it doesn't. It doesn't go into listener support. It's, the way I always, try to explain it to people is solicited versus unsolicited.
I see.
Anything here, the listener support right here, that is solicited. It's solicited by a letter. It's solicited by, fund drives, it's solicited in some way, right? So we're asking for money. Rows 10 and 11, those are unsolicited. People give out of their generosity, period, from bequests, from major donations and such.
Got it. Okay. So, just to make sure I understand. So it looks like the minor donations are way up this year, and, I kind of combined them,
but yeah.
Yeah. I won't bother asking why, because I'm not presuming that you would have an explanation.
No, no. Okay. All right. I'm just as happy and surprised when I see, you know, any check that comes in over $500, over whatever, $1,000. It's I wish there were a way that I could gauge that. There isn't. I don't have a crystal ball.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Point of information. Did I understand correctly that the business manager of KPFA is not getting reports from Netta, who is doing our national finances? And does that seem odd to anyone? Like, shouldn't you be getting, Maria, shouldn't you be getting those Netta reports?
I could create my own just the same as I do here. I do request them from NETA, but they're the same numbers that I have.
Okay, so you're not feeling like you're missing any kind of crucial information from national?
No, I mean,
okay.
We do.
It just something seemed odd, and I'm sorry if I misunderstood, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sorry.
Can I have one other point of information, and this is just a general thing. There's some wild discussions going on in the chat with people who want to argue about stuff instead of paying attention to the budget. Can we, like, all focus on the budget, please?
Thank you. Marilyn was next.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maria, for this presentation so far and also for your presentation at the budget hearing. I appreciate your willingness and openness to have us contact you in between.
Always.
The reason I didn't is because if I call you, I would like to have papers, you know, a chart or a spreadsheet in front of me. And then from that spreadsheet come up some questions and I would call you. So,
okay.
I just haven't had anything in front of me until now. So here I am.
Yeah.
I just got this morning, but in any event, the question I have about the major donors and donations, the ones in blue, and I'm actually looking at, so I can move it around, I'm looking at the spreadsheet we were sent.
Sure.
It looks like information from the past 3 years, that's the thing I had asked about at the budget workshop, so now I have that. That's great. From the past 3 years, it looks like, especially FY18 and 19, the amount that came in from listener support from fund drives was under budget, and some of the expenditures were over budget, but it was the major donations and other donations that made, you know, were way over budget, you know, brought in way more money. So that kind of, you know, helped things to balance out. And so it looks like that category is a very important one, even if you never really know if it's very unpredictable. I mean, the fund drives, I can see there are general patterns and you can kind of predict them, but these major donations, you can't so well. But what I'm wanting to know is, and if you have this information, could provide it to us, I understand that we're not allowed to know the identity of the major donors, and that's fine. I'm not asking for that. Mm-hmm. But could you, so for the FY18, it was a total of $588,000. For FY19, it was over $1 million. It was $1.375 million. Right. And then for this year so far, it's been $901,000. If you could say for any donation, let's say over $1,000 or something, just break down how many donations in each amount category and at what date, when during the year did they come in?
Thank you. That's fine.
Which ones were from people who are alive? And which ones are from bequests, so that we know in the past years, what did we actually get in bequests? So that information would be really good to have. And then
time.
That's time.
Okay. If I have another question, do I just raise my hand again? I have another question related to this topic. Okay. I'll raise my hand again. Thank you.
James is next. James McFadden.
I'm just trying to get it unmuted.
Okay.
First of all, I realize budgets are really complex and, you know, putting these things together are not easy. I've done some really big budgets, in the past and proposals. So I understand all the work, but when I put together a budget, there's a number of assumptions. And what I would like to ask is that in the future, when you provide budgets like this,
rather than us having to ask a lot of questions about the assumptions, if you can just leave the spreadsheet in, which must have those assumptions, because the numbers that are in here have these fractional numbers, which means they came from a formula. So you have some kind of a formula, and it would just be much more transparent. So sometimes it's just kind of obvious. You can go look at the past 3 years, and you can see what the actuals were, and the number that you put in for the proposed budget is pretty in line with those actuals. And that's a, you know, and maybe you don't use that. Maybe you use some massaging of that, or you wait the most recent years. But there is, must be some kind of a formula, or you're doing it by hand, you know, which would be really sad if that's the way these things are put together. But to have that formula in there, just, then we know the assumptions that go into it. So for example, on N7, which is, you know, the listener support for this year, and I'm going to just go with that. You know, how was this number determined? Was it an inflation adjusted number from last year? Was it an average of the last 3 years' actuals? Was it a minimum of the last 3 years? Or was it just kind of you pulled it out of the air because you looked at the numbers and you wrote something in? It just, how that is arrived at is really kind of important for our kind of understanding the process. Most of the lines in this whole budget, which I've been going through for the last hour, seem to be consistent with actuals of previous years, but some of them aren't, and those are the ones I'm going to ask questions about down the line. So if you could just kind of talk about that process, and next year, please provide, you know, the spreadsheets with the formulas.
I actually, first of all, take very big offense to pulling numbers out of the air.
Well, then you don't. That's good. That's good.
This is very complicated. And you're only seeing two of the pieces that we've always ever presented, although I did go through the whole process during the workshop. And yes, it is this going from, and can you see my fund drive numbers, the 85 and 85?
Yes.
Okay. All of these, fund drives here then move into the actual budget. So it is very much formula driven. And we do it based on what our fulfillment is right here, this column I. Over the whole year, we expect we've received 89, 90, 91% fulfillment, fund drive after fund drive. So, to say that I just threw some numbers in here is I object tremendously because it is completely, formula driven. So that's how that comes about. The spreadsheet that I tried to show during the workshop is, I don't know, probably 40 columns long and, you know, 300 lines long. I can't even, you know, explain. And it's all formula driven. This that I present, if I put everything in there, people who don't know Excel would probably get lost. And so this is just the two that seems to be how people understand the budget. So yes, these are all formula driven, corporate matches, car donations, all of these kind of things. I don't have a crystal ball. So those are based on history. And you know, that's all I could say.
And so I just asking for the formula. Can we get the spreadsheet with the formulas so we can see how they
come out? Sure.
That's all.
I will send that same as I presented it at the workshop.
Great. That's all I'm asking.
Thank you. Carol's next.
Thank you, Maria. My question, I have two questions. Sure. I know that there has been, some issues with possible violations of the general accounting policies or principles, and by Pacifica, by shifting some of KPFA's assets out of our budget, and also imposing some debt from WBAI and making that Pacifica debt, and so that also imposes further debt from WBAI on KPFA, and I wonder how that affects your ability to process a budget with possible violations of GAAP rules?
I don't know that. I basically ignored it. How's that? Because this number right here, the negative $348,000, everybody can see that?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, if from the sale of the buildings next door to KPFA, which KPFA purchased with KPFA donor money, was basically sold without our consent because it's owned by Pacifica. What happened is that, we had a huge gain from the sale of that property, but it was decided by the PNB and against, the suggestion of NETA, that it be taken out of our books and put into Pacifica's books. So we had the asset and then they took the asset away. So that created a huge loss on our books. And the loss right now in February, fiscal year 18 is $425,000. So if somebody wanted to see KPFA's books alone, for fiscal year 18, we would show $425,000 loss. Now on Pacifica as a whole, which is a total of 7 entities. And mind you, 7 entities means 5 radio stations, archives, and national office. All 7 entities need to produce budgets and financial statements. It's my understanding that Pacifica, the national office, has not produced a budget for a while. So just food for thought, just that's all. So if we had the building remain on our books, we would be showing a $500,000 gain on our books. But right now, as it looks, it's $425 loss. And doing so, at Pacifica as a whole, it all gets consolidated into one financial. So you don't see what happened to KPFA in consolidated financial statements. You only see that on KPFA books.
Thank you, Maria.
Yeah.
Oh. I had a second question. Maria, can you talk a little bit about the status of what's happening with the property tax and how that's going to be addressed in the budget? I think there was a lot of misunderstanding, my impression is, of board members thinking that that had to do with KPFA management, but that the issue with the property taxes was a Pacifica problem.
It is it's a Pacifica problem changing the name. I've already explained this a few times, but I'll say it again. Changing the name multiple times and not following through with all the proper paperwork. And apparently, well, from what I understand, I asked this question of the attorneys just this week because I knew it would probably come up. And there still need to get amended bylaws, articles of incorporation, amended articles of incorporation with the new name. So I'm not part of all of that. I just give the attorneys what they need when they need it. I have the payment for this year in here, property taxes, $16,000, and we have reserves to pay previous property taxes that I've been holding aside for when we get to pay it. The misconception is that that KPFA had not paid property taxes in the past, and that is completely false. You could absolutely go and look on it's public record, Alameda County records, and you look it up, and it's been paid. And, it was a total of $14,000 a year before. Why I would not pay that, no idea why people would think that. And the difference between the nonprofit status and the for-profit status, or whatever you want to call it, is an 86% decrease. So $14,000 for all what used to be all three of our buildings, now it's only just two, is a minuscule amount to what it's supposed to be if we were a for-profit organization. And so, long story short, Carol, I guess it's still in the hands of either executive director or the national, or, a national board. I'm not quite sure, but it's not in the hands of KPFA.
Well, I want to thank you for the work that you did to forestall the auction of the building, and you're working with the Alameda County tax collector, because that was so crucial. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Funny enough, he literally, I mean, I don't think that everybody gets a visit from the tax collector, but he literally came, and I happened to be downstairs and met with him personally. Very, very nice man.
Thank you. And I would say that Lydia Brazan, our interim executive director, did acknowledge in one of her emails to us graciously that the issue was with the Pacifica Foundation not changing the name and following through on that stuff. So that was acknowledged by our IED. I think Chris Corey was next.
Yes, thank you. I just had three comments based on this last little section of Maria's dialogue. First of all, I don't believe I've ever seen a budget submitted by the PNO or the PRA, and that's probably because they have never really shown a loss. The way that those two divisions obtain their revenues is primarily through other stations, and at least on the books, they are continually showing profits, and so they probably don't feel any compunction to put together budgets. Moreover, I guess one might question the need for it, considering that they're not especially revenue generating parts of the organization. They are cost parts of the organization, certainly, and the cost should be looked at and overseen and managed, but probably the executive director would be the most suitable person for doing that. In terms of the sale of the building, I would point out that had it been booked a slightly different way, it wouldn't have produced a loss, and that's that if KPFA had been allowed to retain their depreciation allowance, or not retain, but to give over the depreciation allowance to the national office, then the then that would have been a truer showing. I objected strongly to this, but I was overruled by the PNB. So the depreciation was orphaned on KPFA's books. And yes, I can prove that. For those of you who are asking whether I can prove that or not, I absolutely can. I certainly can for 18 out of the 20 years in question. I can't prove it for the first two because I need to pull physical records in order to do that. And finally, regarding the tax issue, I believe that's squarely in the hands of Lydia Brazan at this point. The PNB hasn't taken up this issue for quite a while. I believe that Lydia's on top of it, and dealing with it. But I haven't had any conversations with her about it recently. So thank you.
Piggyback on that, all of the expenses of the buildings have come onto KPFA, not only, as Chris said, the depreciation, but also the property taxes. If you rent a space from anybody, you're not normally responsible for the property taxes. That's the property owner. So if Pacifica was indeed the property owner, they should have been paying the taxes. And that, I would guess that would be for all of the stations.
We have Hi. More questions. The next question is from Philip. And that's a great point, Maria. Thank you. Philip?
Maria, yes. And Chris also, I think, I don't really understand depreciation. And it appears in a line item at the bottom of your budget. I don't have it in front of me. Yeah. But it, you're scrolling down toward it.
Yes. Yes.
Where is it? Depreciation.
101,000.
Yeah. So, that adds, 101,000 to the, expenses or the revenue of the station, and what is being depreciated?
Property and equipment, you know, transmitter equipment, any of our, anything over that you purchase over $2,000, that's a capitalized item, that's a fixed item. If we do, if we put, like if you remember when we put the guardrails in the parking lot, that is an improvement to the building, so that starts to get depreciated. With that said, I don't know what that $101,000 is because that has always been calculated by the national office and not shared unless I ask, to see the, it's called a depreciation schedule. And, so they put those numbers in, not the business managers. However, that is a, it's not a cash item. So it's not a operating expense. If you, if you're going to be replacing something, you know, of value, you have to have your money in reserves for that. So everybody does, everybody who does budgets adds it back in. You saw it at that bottom here on line 47. It says add back depreciation expense. So it's taken out. It's there just for show, basically.
Thank you. Is that Phil? Is that it, Philip?
Well, I don't know. Another place it appeared to be revenue, that the depreciation, it looked like it was revenue in the spreadsheet.
No, it's an expense. It's an expense. Like if you're a business owner, depreciation, you write it off. You could, it's a tax write-off.
Okay.
Thank you. James, you had a question?
Yes, I just want to make sure, this is the time to ask some detailed questions about the entire budget, or you just want to stick to this first part, which is the revenue?
Ask any question you want to ask, James.
Okay. So my first question would be item number N70, which is board expenses. Mm-hmm. And it lists... $40,000 in election-related expenses at the end, mm-hmm. At the end of this year. And I thought we were in a year where there's no election. So I don't know what this money is for.
Well, if I thought I was told this was going to be an election year.
I don't think there's
can I attempt to please respond? This is for next year, fiscal year 2021, and there will be an election next year.
But will it start this fall or will it start the fall of 2022?
It's going to start in like May of next year.
So it will be within the fiscal year.
Hiring the national election supervisor, things like that.
Okay.
It seemed out of place to have it right, you know, at the end of this year.
Okay.
Next thing was, N25, it looks like telephone charges are dropping and
big time.
It looks like that is not the case. On N90.
Wait, sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm losing you. N25, you said?
N25.
Or N75.
25, I think. Maybe I typed it in wrong.
It's 45,000.
It's 75, yes, yes.
Okay.
It seemed to be that those numbers are dropping for, you know, whatever reasons, and but the numbers in the proposed budget don't reflect that. N90 is property tax, and for the last 2 years, there's been no actuals, and I didn't quite understand that. But there is, you have numbers in there, so it didn't quite make sense to me what the budgeted property tax.
Are those your two questions?
And then there's a couple more. N96 is computer maintenance. Mm-hmm. Those numbers look like they're dropping, but it's higher this year, and it could be you planning to do something, but it's not transparent why that number is larger. And the apprenticeship program, there seems to be, which is N105, seems to be there are plans to increase this above past actuals, and I didn't know if you could address why that is. Maybe there's something in planning. And N139 is fund drive expenses, which went up last year. And, you know, I don't know if that's gifts or, you know, maybe you can clarify.
Sure.
And then my last thing is N144, which is community events, which looks like they were declining. And I would assume in this year with COVID, there's probably not going to be any community events. So maybe that number should be smaller.